Welcome to another Carlow & Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, today's guest is a familiar name in Sonny Moy. Welcome to the show, Sonny.
Yes, Rob. Nice to be here.
Now, this time, I think last time we spoke, we talked about your golf game.
We did talk about golf last time.
So, I'm thinking...
Talk about something that...
closer to
football.
Yeah. What about Indigenous players? Like, players who you played against, played with... and have seen in your lifetime. Who are some of the players that really stand out of the Indigenous players?
Okay, I suppose you look at the AFL blokes first, and let's look at Andrew McLeod and Gavin Wanganeen. Those two are unique in the way they played and their ability to play football. And luckily for me, I didn't play, I was too old. But, you know, they were great players in their own right. I had other players that I played with, blokes like Wilbur Wilson, Bertie Johnson, for West Adelaide, Sophie Cantilla. I mean, David Cantilla, his real name, was in. He's now deceased, but he was a great ruckman for
South Adelaide.
They played in the 1964 Grand Final, actually, and he was actually the key to their premiership. It wasn't Neil Curley, he was only the coach. There were other ruckmen too, Rob. There was a fellow I grew up with him in Alice Springs, actually. He was a big bloke, but he's now deceased. And with respect, I can't use his name at the moment because he's an Arrernte man and he's just recently passed away. So I'll let that one go.
Now you mentioned Wilbur Wilson. Now, he was obviously a cult figure at Central District. What is it about Wilbur? Any good stories about Wilbur?
Oh, there's a couple, but I shouldn't really, you know, cast aspersions on a good mate of mine. But there was one incident, and I think these two gentlemen will back me up on this one. One's David Sowell, an Englishman. The other one's Robin Mulholland, an Irishman. It was a training session at Mile, or one summer training session. And there was me, Wilbur Wilson, and one William Cockrum. It was Bill's idea to take a shortcut and we got lost. And it attacked these two gentlemen from overseas to come and find us. Isn't that embarrassing?
So you had an Englishman and an Irishman tracking two Aboriginals in the Australian bush.
Yes. Well, we sort of sidetracked a little bit.
It sounded like the start of a joke, doesn't it?
An Englishman, an Irishman, an Aboriginal. Which one got lost?
Well, I was lucky enough to play football with Gilbert McCadden at North Adelaide back in the juniors. And he was a fabulous footballer and obviously went on to play very high-level football. But the thing that amazed me about Gilbert, like when we were doing our sprints, I swear he was the slowest runner out of our group. But when he had the football, to try and catch him and lay a tackle on him was bloody impossible.
Gilbert is... And, you know, a brilliant footballer. I know Gilbert's back in Alice Springs nowadays because he works out at the Karma Radio, which is the Central Australian Media Association. But the interesting story with Gilbert is Gilbert's mother was born actually in the same place where I was. So we related in that part of our story.
Now, another interesting little story in regards to Gilbert McCadden is his claim to fame is that he was the first Indigenous player to win the McGillie Medal. Well, there was an Aboriginal player that was actually runner-up for the McGillie Medal to Malcolm Blight back in 1973. That was no one else but Sonny Moy. So, Sonny, tell us about that particular season for you, 1973.
I was just an average footballer. I didn't really excel in any way. But it was just one of those seasons when you... hit what they call a purple patch in the sporting terms, and I had a great season. I played very well, played the back pocket, and in my way of playing it, I thought, you know, why wouldn't you be a negative footballer? Just attack the ball and play the game the way it should be, and that's what I did. And the umpires must have seen me do that, and I thought, oh, well, we'll give him a vote the odd occasion.
I think it was a bit more than that. I remember something as a speedy wingman sort of in the 60s, and then he struggled for a little while to make the league team with injuries, et cetera, et cetera. And then he was converted to a back pocket player, and that's when he had his second lease of life. Now, he actually not only did Sonny get the first kick in league football for Central for 64, he also was the first Central District player to play 200 league games.
Yeah, that's part of history, and I've never really taken much notice other than that it was just the way it was. You know, and if you look at it today, there's a lot of fuss being made about footballers, individuals, about, you know, creating history and being part of that history. And, okay, I played 200 games. I'm proud to have played for Centrals because we're virtually a very young club. We started from scratch. I can recall but probably had three supporters when I first started playing. Then as we got into winning premierships and all that sort of stuff, it became more and more, you know, supporting.
Yeah, who are some of the Indigenous players that you remember playing with? I mean, there's guys like Casper Muir, and there's the Grahams, and a whole range of them. Just a little bit of a snapshot sort of view on some of the teammates that you've had, Aboriginal teammates.
At Centrals, yeah. Well, I played with Wilbur. Wilbur was a very good footballer. I didn't play with Phil Grant. Phil was a few years younger than me. But he was a brilliant footballer, Phil, because he comes with a Graham family. He's a nephew of Michael, played for Sturt. He was a brilliant footballer in his day.
Flash,
yeah, that's the one, yes. He was quick too. Then you had Roger Rigney, the Wombat. He was a great player.
For Sturt.
You had, I mentioned Michael, but you also had Ali Muir, that played with Centrals, came from Darwin. And he just recently passed, so it's sad in itself. And there's also a few other blokes that were missing. And if you're looking at footballers in the histories of not only Centrals but South Australia, you've got blokes like Vince Copley, who's in his 80s, who won a Tompkins medal in the 1950s. And there's no mention of him. And he was playing for Port Adelaide. So, you know, you got those sort of blokes that are around.
Wilbur Wilson also won that award for Centrals, 73, I think it was. Yeah. And a couple of years later, Brenton Graham, Phil's brother, he won it as well.
Yeah, and Brenton wasn't a bad footballer. He played with Centrals also. There were a couple of other blokes that came in at a run. And the most interesting one is a bloke called the lad that plays for Frio.
Oh, yeah, Michael Waters?
Waters. It was his father that played for Centrals. In one game, Michael Waters Sr. kicked 6 goals from half forward flank, and he was absolutely brilliant. He was one of those players I thought was could have been anything and walked away from the game.
Yeah, Mick was, luckily I played footy with Mick at Salisbury. Okay. And my dad was a coach at the time, and we had a few guys that used to stay at our place on a Friday night, so we'd make sure that everyone was at the game on the Saturday. And Mick was, so Mick sort of spent a lot of time with us when we were young kids, and he was just an unbelievable footballer. And I remember him playing league at Centrals and kicking all those goals. And now, of course, his son over in Fremantle doing a great job.
It's a clone. His son's almost like...
I know, when you look at him, you think, wow, it looks just like him.
It is. It was a great moment. He was a great footballer. But there was also Derek Kickett as a young kid. And I saw Derek play. I didn't play footy with Derek. He was after my time. But he was a brilliant footballer in his day, and he only played about a season, and did, I think, or two seasons.
Well, a lot of people talk about that. He played that one season in 1988 for the league team, but he came from Western Australia. But previous to that, he actually played junior footy, under 19 for Centrals, about 80-81. So he actually did come from Centrals before he played league football in Western Australia, before he came to Centrals, before he went to Essendon and the Swans.
Yes, he did. He was one of our junior players, you know. Really, we didn't have to recruit him. He just popped up and said, I'll have a game. The interesting story with Mickey Walters is that I tried to get old Mick, the old man, to play under 17s. And sadly, the Salisbury North coach, he was playing for Salisbury North at this time, took him out and said, listen, I'll play for you guys. And we lost him for that season. But it would have been handy because I might have had some influence on his way of wandering around. So.
No, he was a great bloke. And my mum still keeps in touch with the family, and we've got together a few times. But he was certainly, yeah, he could have been anything as a footballer.
Absolutely. He's just a natural ability. Like Wilbur Wilson, he's a left-footer. And those sort of blokes are really hard to stand, especially if you're a naturally right-sided player. You find it hard because they turn the opposite way. They blind you around by turning the blind corners.
You know, it's interesting. I remember there was an Aboriginal umpire, mainly in Victoria, Glenn James, but there's a connection with Central there as well, because his niece married Ian Callanan, played for Central.
Yeah, that's true. James's brother is living in Tasmania. He moved to Tasmania from Victoria, and of course, the rest is history. His daughter married Wingnut, who ended up playing for the Dogs.
Yeah, and four premierships and Jack Ody medalist. But, and interestingly, one of Wingnut's sons looks like a handy footballer. Hopefully, father-son all comes back to the Dogs.
Yes, it'd be nice to see him back at the Dogs, but no, I don't know. They'd probably end up in the AFL side somewhere.
I had a question. Well, when we spoke last time, like, you were playing in the 60s. How do you think it's different now for Indigenous players playing? I mean, like, playing back in the 60s compared to playing football now, like, it must have been a very different time to be involved in football.
Yeah, Sean. Well, all I can say about the 60s is that we, like the press or whoever, the selectors, they just took it for granted that we can play. But today, it's a bit different because it's high finance and there's a lot more recognition of the Indigenous players. You know, they expect a lot more harder training, etc. But they also, their rewards are a lot more. You know, what beats my $2 a game.
The one thing interesting, though, when you started playing football, you were not even an Australian citizen. That didn't come through to 1967.
That's correct. I was an alien, is the term used, very lightly, of course. I can recall a few times that, because we weren't allowed to go to pubs or go to front bars, I had to wait because I was getting a lift. I didn't have a licence as a young kid. I had to wait for a lift home or a lift back to Elizabeth, and I'd be outside the pub. And even the coppers would come along and ask me to move on.
So just who would you classify as the best Indigenous player you've ever seen for a longer period of time? Obviously, there's a lot of players that flash in, they play great games, but then they go missing, they go, for whatever reasons, whether it's cultural or whatever, they get lost to the game. But long term, who would you say has been the best Indigenous player in your lifetime?
South Australia or anywhere?
Anywhere.
Or Grand Farm.
Polly Farm.
He'd be one of the best, and probably, and of course,
he's offside at Barry Cable.
Yep, yep.
Also, there was Stephen Michaels.
Yep.
In WA, and he was brilliant.
Multiple
Sandover medalists. Didn't come out to the Eastern States, or didn't come anywhere around here, but you look at history and look at the way the game was played and the way he played. Brilliant football. But those are three that come up, you know. And not counting the South Australian blokes like Mikey Graham and all these other blokes.
How would you compare, for argument's sake, an Andrew McLeod and a Michael Graham? First, Graham, he had a special brand of footy that he used to play, could win a game off his own boot, and so could Andrew McLeod, as shown in a couple of grand finals.
Yeah, that would be an interesting contest between two. They're both pretty quick, and Mick is an opportunist sort of player. He's a half-forward flank. And if he had a run of the ball, there's no way you're going to catch him. And in regards to mythology of today and people saying about you have to be very quick to play football, yeah, you need 3 or 4 metres to start. There's no one going to pick you up unless you run even time over 100 metres.
What I loved about Andrew McLeod was he could almost, like, he would, when you're watching movies and it's an action movie and they slow things down, and when you watch him play in traffic, it was almost like he had ability to control time and space, because his movement and little feints and little things he would do to get players moving in the wrong direction. And you'd watch him and he'd hardly move much, but it'd just be enough, and he'd seem to be able to get through traffic at will. And that, to me, was always just amazing to watch.
You can liken that to probably some of the current players, in particular the one that's just retired from Hawthorn, Cyril. He's got that ability to just his evasive skills, just to dodge and twist. But, I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, most of the footballers have played in their time with some ability to do this sort of stuff.
One of the things I remember about some of the standout sort of Aboriginal players are the left-footers, because they had this uncanny way of looking right-handed and then turning on their left. And I think that's what used to catch a lot of opponents off guard, because Sean was saying about time standing still. I think that split second they gain from the uncertainty gave them a huge advantage.
Well, it certainly did, but one of the key issues in sport is the ability to read what they call read the play or read the flow of the ball and direction, and to anticipate where it's going to be. That's the key to it. If you're quick enough and you switched on, 9 out of 10 you'd get to know how other people kick the ball, if they don't kick it long or they kick it short or whatever. So you're already in position to read the ball where it's going to land, and that's a very important part of the game. And that actually gives you another advantage of being 2 or 3 metres in front of your opponent, that ability to read that situation.
Well, that's been fantastic having something on again, hasn't it, Sean?
It has been. Thank you very much.
So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Thank you, Sonny.
Thanks, boys.